You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
So this week's episode, we're pool is open for the summer. We're going back and talking about Deadpool 2.
There was a Deadpool 1?
Yeah. To find a cigar crazy enough to go with Deadpool. What are we smoking this week, Brad?
So this week we have got the Psycho 7 Maduro. This one's kind of interesting because just like Deadpool, you know, the whole premise behind this cigar is medicating your mind. this is very unique because it, you know, just all the stuff that goes into it. So, I'm just going to kind of go down the list. So, this sports a San Andreas Maduro wrapper with Ecuador hybrid 151 binder, Nicaraguan Ligero, Peruvian Pelo de Oro, Dominican hybrid, Honduran Alancha, and Pennsylvania Ligero long fillers.
So it's a blend of seven tobaccos from six different countries wrapped in a nice San Andreas Maduro. So, yeah, this is definitely an international smoke.
Which is, you know, this kind of goes back to that whole argument. Does the wrapper actually, you know, impact taste? And, you know, most cigars, I would say the wrapper doesn't necessarily play a big role. But I will say that with this one here, you get the sweetness of the Maduro wrapper. But instantly behind that, you're getting, you know, the black pepper and coffee and stuff, you know, from the other tobaccos and Ligeros. And this is, you know, one of the first cigars that really stands out where those flavors are so distinguishable.
Yeah, because I've had the original Psycho 7, which was a natural wrapper. And yeah, this one just kind of adds a little bit of that, sweetness to it that the original, like I said, other, that's like really the only difference between the two is that outer leaf. But yeah, there is definitely a flavor difference between the two.
Oh yeah, I mean, this just adds a whole level, you know, of complexity to an already, you know, complex cigar. And this is one of those that I probably have passed over, you know, a dozen times, you know, because I'm like, but then you start talking about Deadpool and you're like, how do you tie a cigar into Deadpool? And it's like, well, the more psychotic the better. So here we are.
It was either like go with something with a nice, you know, red and black label, or hey, we got Psycho, you know, it looks like a Deadpool, you know, he ends up in some, you know, medical wards and stuff like that occasionally. You know, there's, you know, it has a nice large prescription label on the cigar. It sort of fits in.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I couldn't think of a, you know, better cigar, you know, to pair with this episode. I mean, you know, just Deadpool 2, you know, spoiler alerts ahead, but, I think we owe our sponsors, you know, a little shout out here, because when you're trying to assemble the X-Force, you should call in the Strike Force.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the X-Force is a Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your orders. Comes in original orange, lemon, grape. You know, in fact, for summer, they put drink recipes on their website and on their bottles of like a little vodka and the orange Strike Force. They call it the Orange Crush. It's a nice refreshing start to your summer. You know, instead of that freaking Red Bull and vodka,
it's like a jolt of cocaine.
Hidden right next to the cure for blindness. And with that, we're going to get in deep into the pool.
Spoiler alerts ahead.
Get dirty, poke the eyes till they go blurry, chop the the foot, stomp the toes, ear smack from the back, then bust the nose. Wham, bam, time to get fuck slammed, putting in work, going hand to hand. Kick him in the knee so hard it buckles, quick uppercut, left, right with knuckles. Hot brass, smash a bottle, whooping that ass on Rano Romano. Better call the dentist, I'm feeling ruthless. Hard to talk shit when your mouth is toothless. Knuckle up, get the party started, knock you out like Colossus farted. Lingerie does nothing for me, but smacking bad guys makes me horny. Time to make noise, leave us no choice. Don't we look pretty? Now we fight dirty. Cracking your head, causing a flood. Fighting so dirty, it's like we're covered in mud. Filthy as fuck, stinky as sweet. If I sit on your face, can you smell the defeat?
And it's time to talk about the pool.
Hey, did I say spoiler alerts?
Probably, but we can always go back in time like Cable and say it again. Spoiler alerts, mofos.
Yes. I don't want to see any. You guys didn't warn us that you were talking about a movie that we hadn't seen yet. And meh! That's what people do now.
Yeah. Go see it.
I saw a headline. It had a spoiler. How do you know? Have you seen the movie?
Well, no. And then you have the other assholes that are always posting fake spoilers when the movie, yeah, like Deadpool gets abducted by aliens. People are like, what the fuck, spoilers?
You know, let's just talk about trolling for a minute, you know, because I think people have genuinely missed the premise behind trolling. Trolling is not to be a deliberate asshole. That just makes you a asshole, not a troll. Just wanted to throw that out there because a lot of people don't know that clear divide. It's like, I was trolling. No, you're being an asshole. No, it's funny. No, see, usually when people troll, like, lots of people find it funny. When you only find it funny, that makes you an asshole.
You might be an asshole. Start a whole comedy tour, sort of like Jeff Foxworthy's You Might Be a Redneck. Just like, you might be an asshole.
Yeah, but didn't, who was it? Tucker Max already do an asshole book, though?
I think he did. And, you know, of course, Dennis Leary did a whole song about it.
Yeah. It might have been Dennis Leary I'm thinking about, but I can't remember. But, yeah, you might want to look in the mirror and reevaluate. Are you a troll or asshole? In fact, that should be a new game we should play on the podcast.
Just get quotes from the internet and be like, troll or asshole?
We're going to do away with news and just the rest of the podcast. It's just
time to revamp. We're going to come up with some new games to play. But speaking of assholes, Deadpool.
But is he like, you know, the first Deadpool, it's the first time we had actually seen Deadpool on the big screen in any real capacity that amounted to anything awesome. Maybe a little bit of an asshole. The next go round, though, he's like, I've killed all the people that need killing. I've done what I need to. I need to settle down and have a family. Does that make him an asshole?
Deadpool's always like just a great asshole. He is the embodiment of troll. He trolls life.
But you know what? I don't really think that he's an asshole more so than, you know, he just puts the truth bluntly, and like it or not, I mean, it just kind of the way it is. You know, a lot of that is sheltered behind, you know, humor, but if you look between the lines, it's like, oh yeah, he's legit calling you out. Like, probably want to make some reevaluations of one's life.
Like, so we'll get deep into it, but like Cable, I think, calls it when he has a line, when Cable finally stops trying to fight Deadpool and starts trying to recruit him, and he's like, you know, you remind me of my wife. She used to, like, you know, cover pain with, you know, humor as well. And that's pretty much Deadpool. Like, if you look at, like, the origins of the character, he's been through some shit. I mean, basically got his powers from being, like, an experiment and tortured on, and then his in this movie, at least, he loses his wife, girlfriend, you know, baby, a future baby mama. And like I said, him just being like a nut job is how he deals with all, keeps from going legitimately crazy. But then again, Deadpool also is kind of legitimate crazy because he's the only character who breaks the fourth wall and talks to the audience and realizes he's only a comic book or a movie.
But, you know, also, too, like...
Or is he the only sane one?
I mean, I don't know. You know, see, I see, you know, a bit of a psychological flaw. Because if you look at Deadpool from the comics, I mean, the one thing is, you know, it's basically the voices, you know, guiding and directing him. But, you know, in the movie adaptation, it's not really the voices, it's just his own actions, you know?
Yeah, because in the... Kind of also depends on the version, because, I mean, OG Deadpool, he always had, like, basically, like, the multiple... Not multiple personalities, but he had, like, voices in his head that he always kind of joked around with and played off on. And then, like, the later comic books, like the current stuff, they've kind of done away with the voices and just... You know, made him more of a, you know, talk crap to some whatever sidekick of the week he's dealing with that that week and talk to the audience more. So it's like, yeah, kind of depending on the version of the pool you get. But yeah, this is 2018's Deadpool, directed by David Lighten, which you may know him from a little movie called John Wick.
Yeah. And we'll talk about John Wick later in Nerd News, so be sure to stay tuned.
But that's one of the before we get into
foreshadowing.
That, yeah, and I like in the, because the opening credits always never actually give you any information. They're always making fun of us. So one of the things is like directed by one of the guys who killed John Wick's dog.
But you know, it was kind of interesting because this movie like jumped right into, you know, the film before you ever got, you know, kind of the intro credit roll. So, you know, I thought that was kind of a unique twist, you know, like where it's, all right, you get, you know, 10-15 minutes of movie and, oh, there's the, you know, descriptive.
Which, too, like the, you know, the first movie, they kind of had to make it under the, almost like, you know, no one thought this was going to be a thing. It was like an R-rated superhero movie. It didn't have like the huge budget that like other movies have had. But then this one, it, you know, $110 million budget. So far, it's made like $487 million. But the first one was so successful, they were allowed to do more with this movie. Like the budget was bigger. And then, you know, they had, like said, director of John Wick is used to making something that doesn't cost that much, but look like it costs a whole lot more than what they spent on it.
And you know, I do have to say that, you know, as far as this film is concerned, like the action sequences and everything, you could definitely tell that they had
so
more money,
bigger,
you know, this go round.
Yeah, because like in the first one, they kept having to make that joke about Deadpool, like, I got all these guns. Fuck, I left them in the car, or I left my bullet bag. Just because they could, like, limit him to, like, a couple pistols and a couple swords. But now it's like, you know, like, oh, we have all the money. We can do all the action.
We can bring in the entire X-Force.
That was another thing, too. Like, later on when Deadpool goes to the X-Mansion again, he makes that same joke from the first one. Why is you the only two X-Men that are always here? It's like, you know, come on, can we not afford a couple more X-Men? And, like, behind him, there's, like, a door open, and, like, all the X-Men from, like, X-Men First Class are in there having a party, and they just kind of, like, shut the door, like, fuck, we don't want Deadpool to, like, see us. They're all there. They just don't want to have to deal with Deadpool.
This guy, he makes us feel bad and uncomfortable.
Leave him to the Russian guy. We're going to stay in here and have our party.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, probably the biggest thing, you know, for this film for me was, you know, the introduction of Cable. You know, I mean, that was the one character that, you know, I mean, we followed the casting calls and everything leading up to the film's release, you know, pretty much exclusively to, you know, how are they going to do the character and everything. And then, lo and behold, like, Cable was a badass, but in my opinion, Juggernaut stole the show.
Yeah. My only disappointment with, like I said, we'll get to the introduction of him in a minute, but yeah, he didn't say, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
That's, yeah, like, that was my, I kept waiting and waiting, and I'm like, He's not going to do it, is he? Nope. Nope.
Which the Juggernaut was actually also played by Ryan Reynolds. They just kind of digitized his voice to make it deeper. And he did some of like the facial mocap stuff for it. But and the credits says like Juggernaut voiced by himself. but yeah, this movie too, like I said, it where the first one was definitely like balls to the wall action and comedy. This one had a lot more like, I guess, feeling to it. I mean, they had some like serious moments to it.
As
serious as you can get with Deadpool. I mean, but like,
but no, I mean,
definitely had more heart than the first one did.
Like, legit, from an emotional standpoint, you are invested from this film, and that wasn't quite something I was anticipating or expecting. I mean, you know, when you know his pregnant, you know, girlfriend dies, and you know, it's like. Yeah, you should have used the cheese knife.
Should have sharpened the cheese. Because like, this movie starts off with, you know, when we last seen Deadpool, he had got his girl back and, you know, kind of embraced being the pool and started a career like we've seen in the comics of him being just a mercenary and a hitman. But he makes the point of being the anti-hero that, like, and there's this great, like I said, murder montage of him, like, working all these jobs and killing all these like high level dudes. Cause now that he's like basically the unstoppable immortal assassin, like he brings in those big budget contracts, but he's like only going after people that has like, that are bad people. Like he makes point like, oh, these are like neo-Nazis or human traffickers or drug dealers, making a point that like, I'm only slaughtering people who deserve it. And like I said, and of course, like the great murder montage set to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, including a stripping sequence by Deadpool,
which
killing people in high heels.
Completely. It was baffling and it worked.
Yes. Oh,
I was not prepared.
Yeah. He's like, cue the Dolly and then, or hit it. Dolly is my head and starts killing everybody. But yeah, the last guy, he's traveled all over the world killing these people, and the last guy, he's in his own hometown, and he ends up letting him go because the guy hides in a safe room, and he's late for his anniversary with Vanessa, played by Marina Baccarin, and they follow him home, and of course, you know, come in and ends up accidentally killing his girl. Which, that sequence too of him, like, you know, I'm home, I'm dropping all the weapons, I'm relaxing with my girl, we're talking about starting a family. So when they bust in, he's, like, unarmed, and he just grabs, like, the whole block of knives and just starts, like, basically pulling a Hawkeye and just, like, freaking his knife quiver, throwing knives at everybody.
Yeah, that was pretty epic. I mean, you gotta improvise, man. I mean, we always talk about preparedness, but, you know. Sometimes you're just not as prepared as you would like to be.
I mean, he wished a motherfucker would, and they did, unfortunately for him. But I did like one element of killing her that they added in some of the comics and even in like the video game version. Deadpool has been in love with, like, you know, in the Marvel Universe, there is the embodiment of Death, who is like a hot, like, skeleton lady. But he can never actually be with her. You know, so it's like every time he gets blown up real bad or gets close to death, he's with her briefly and then, like, you know, is resurrected. So he's never actually with her. And she kind of represented that in this movie because because he wants to die so he can be with her. And every time he gets really fucked up, you know, he sees her, but there's, like, an invisible wall. He can't, like, actually cross over and be with her because, of course, he's Deadpool and he's going to get resurrected. So, yeah, that was kind of a cool, like, throwback to some of his stuff from the comics, too. I mean, it was, like, very much he represented, like, you know, Lady Death in this version.
Yeah, that was, you know, rather interesting. Like I said, I mean, there was just a lot of heart and emotion that I didn't anticipate, you know, from this film. And
especially, like, the tone of the first one, it was, like, you know, very comedic, where this one, like, you know, still very comedic, but then had those those moments of like, oh shit, this is like pretty serious. And before, and it's, I mean, the movie starts with a suicide. Because it starts off with like him in his apartment with like laying on, you know, 300 gallons of gasoline, smoking a cigarette. And I do like his little commentary on Wolverine. He's got a music box of Wolverine from Logan impaled on a stick. Like he's like, first he bites on my whole R rating, and then he has to go and die in his movie too, trying to steal my thunder. Well, guess what? I'm going to die in this movie. And then blows himself up. And it was like, all right, yeah, 6 weeks earlier, and goes into the whole why he's trying to kill himself. But then I do like when he's kind of depressed and he goes back to see Al, and he made a joke in the first movie that when he goes to leave to fight, bad guy from the first movie, Francis, when he goes to fight Francis,
Ajax.
He's like, he tells Al, he's like, Al, if I don't come back, hidden somewhere in this house is 2 kilos of cocaine right next to the cure for blindness. He's like, good luck. And she's like, fuck you, Wade. So when he goes back to her house, he's like sneaking around and he like moves the couch and like opens up this hidden compartment in the floor. And there's 2 bags of cocaine that says Wade's cocaine in a box that says cure for blindness. He wasn't bullshitting. It really was there. Never found it.
What do you do in that situation? Like... like, the fact that it was under the floorboards, like, I mean, you know, okay, maybe hide it under a table or something, you know, but under the floorboards, like, that's asking for a bit much.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah, so that whole, like, you know, mention of the cocaine and the, that was kind of funny that they brought that back in. And then, you know, he has that conversation with Al about like how he's feeling. She's like, oh, could you speak up? I can't hear you with that pity dick in your mouth. I mean, sometimes you need that asshole friend that tells you to like to fucking, you know, quit your whining and get up and do something about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been that friend.
Oh.
I'm still waiting to discover that friend for myself.
Oh. And she, yeah, has the thing, she's like, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, she's like, I feel like I'm dying, she's like, well, sometimes you gotta die a little to, you know, learn how to live a little or something. So that's when he gets the whole thing, I'm gonna go home and blow myself up big time, and but yeah, unfortunately, it's only temporary.
He was trying to die a lot,
yeah.
Not a little.
But yeah, even that was not enough to kill old Deadpool, because, you know, he can regenerate. And of course, Colossus shows up and picks up all his pieces and puts them in the bag and tracks him back to the X Mansion. And she says something to him like, "You can't be with me because your heart's not in the right place." He's like, "What the fuck does that mean?" And then, you know, Colossus tries to like give him a new home with the X Men. And so I'm just like rolling around in the X Mansion in Professor X's chair.
Yeah, that joke never gets old. It's like, I still don't get it. You guys just hang out here all day, not actually doing anything?
Where the fuck is everybody else? And they're all like, shh, shut the door. Fuck Deadpool, we don't want to talk to him.
So, yeah, I don't know. excuse me. This one was kind of cool, too, like, with the introduction of, you know, all the other characters. You know, Fire Fist, Domino... of course, we get the return of Negasonic Teenage Warhead, the girl with the longest superhero name in the world.
Oh, and there was so many weird jokes about, like, racism. It was like, she's like, you know, when he sees her, first sees her, the man, she's like, oh, Negasonic. And she's like, it's like, who is this? It's like, and she's this super, like, you know, she's all, like, dark and like the world sucks, I'm all emo kid, and she has this like super anime like freaking bubbly girlfriend, like, this is my girlfriend. She's like, yeah, why, you like, you know, got something against lesbians, you bigot? He's like, no, I'm just like, I have nothing wrong with that, that's didn't think anyone would love your sarcastic ass. And the girlfriend, like, loves, like, just like, he's funny. Hello, Wade. And it just pisses her off so much.
What was her name? Like,
oh, fuck, I don't even remember now.
Like, Masuki or something like that, or Masaki, or, you know. Because yeah. that was, like, their running joke, like, the entire time. It would be like,
hello, Suki. Hello, Wade.
Yeah. And the whole time, he's just getting the death stare of the pissed off teenage, you know.
Yeah.
What a fitting name. Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
But what happens when she turns, like, 20? Does her name become Negasonic Young Adult Warhead?
No, it becomes Negasonic Post-Teenage Warhead.
She hits her 30s and her changed her name to Negasonic Grown-Ass Woman Warhead.
I don't know if that name was thought out all the way through for longevity. No. I almost felt like that was a one and done.
It's like, oh yeah, you're going to die before you...
Or maybe her superpower is, maybe she just never fully ages. She remains the age of, we assume, 18, 19, I don't know. She uses some pretty adult language, so she better not be, like, young in her teenage years.
Yeah. But then you get... Deadpool's first X-Men mission, which is funny, they make him wear the yellow jersey that says trainee on it. And that's where you get the
safety belts.
Yeah. You get your introduction to Fire Fist, which is, that sounds like some kind of weird, like, you know, infection.
But you know what? I was reading some articles and, you know, some of the, it's kind of interesting because Fire Fist is one of those characters that doesn't typically fit, like, the superhero build, you know, and stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, I can see the Hulk taking him under his wing and being like, you like to, you know, create explosions and smash, so does Hulk come at me. Which, I do love, you know, how they, you know, kind of did that comparison. It's like the sun's getting really low.
Yes, later on when... Because he makes so many jokes to, like, the other Marvel universe. He calls, at one point, when Cable shows up, Josh Brolin, who was also Thanos, which we talked about last week. He's like, you know, back off, Thanos.
Yes.
And then when he's like, why does everyone have a Winter Soldier arm now? It's like the new, like, fucking hotness in, like, hero movies. People are going to get tired of the robot arms. And then when he's fighting Juggernaut for the first time, he's, like, on his back, and he's like, sun's getting real low. He's trying to do the Hulk lullaby.
Doesn't quite work. But I don't know. You know,
when he tries on the freaking Cerebro helmet, he's like, why does this smell like Patrick Stewart?
But I mean, I think the inside jokes there are what makes, you know, definitely some of the lighthearted moments. Another thing that really kind of struck me, you know, as kind of cool is when they get locked up and, you know, they're collared. So basically, you know, it revokes any of their, you know, mutant powers. And
yeah, so his cancer starts coming back and killing. Because that's one thing, too. He, you know, tries to be the hero and, you know, tries to talk this kid down. And he's like, you know, anybody comes after me, I'm going to kill Justin Bieber there. And he's like, ha, ha, he called you Justin Bieber. But then finally Deadpool's like, you know, tries to handle it Deadpool way. And they're like, no way, you can't kill him. He's like, fine. And he, like, just throws his sword at him and hits him in the head with it, knocks him out. And he's like, thank you, I'm the hero. And then they, you know, they come and slap the thing on his. And he's like, oh yeah, this inhibits all mutant ability. And he's like, oh, I wish I'd known, you know, that a week ago. That would have made my suicide a lot easier. So at that point, you know, when he kind of takes the kid in the custody, he notices, like, these burn marks, and he's like, yeah, tell me about it, kid. Are these guys hurting you? This is why you did this? And he's like, yeah. He's like, which one? Like, the creepy guy around the place? The, you know, and then he just pulls his gun and, like, starts shooting them until, you know, Colossus takes him out. So I'm like, did he really do that out of, like, the goodness of his twisted sense of justice Deadpool heart? Or was he like, I'm going to kill people right now so they arrest me and I get the freaking collar so I can finally actually die. Like, was it legitimately
I don't know.
Him,
I
him trying to interpret a hero or him just trying to kill himself?
I think with the events of Vanessa, I think, you know, he was legitimately trying to do something good, you know? I mean, he turns to Colossus and says, you know, sometimes you got to do it the dirty way.
Yeah, sometimes you know? Justice is messy.
You know, because... and, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you were in law enforcement. You know much better than most. I mean, sometimes that just is a thing, you know? I mean, sometimes the only thing that, you know, stop somebody with bad intentions is somebody with equal firepower with good intentions. And such is the way of life.
Yeah, and then they end up in the icebox. Because the kid, he's like,
I could really use an icebox about now.
Yeah. But yeah, the kid's like, I'd rather go to prison than go back into this place where I'm getting abused, so... And the kid is just, like, so happy to be in prison. He's like, don't worry, Deadpool. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make a shivs. I stored some stuff in my prison wallet. It's like, goes there, like, pulling, like, a pin out of his butt. He's like, ew. Look out. He has a butt pin.
Yes. Prison wallet is now a new term that...
something to add to your vocabulary.
I mean, I'm always looking for a new way. I mean, you know, I'm one that, you know, I guess I should go into criminal justice because I enjoy the shit out of watching prison documentaries. I'm a little disappointed that I hadn't heard the term prison wallet, you know. Skeester stash just no longer, you know, has any hold or, you know.
How did the icebox stand up to your Locked Up Abroad documentaries you've been watching?
you know, I mean... it just isn't quite the same. You know, I mean, in Locked Up Abroad, I mean, you're legit having to, you know, struggle for survival. You know, nobody's there to bring you food. I mean, you know, they basically operate a prison on, oh, you're in prison, so you got to figure out a way to pay the prison. You know, like, shit gets real. You know, it's not like here in America where you get cable TV and satellite, 3 square meals, you know, I mean... Some folks just don't realize how good they got it. I mean,
the glass prison cells, that prison looked... Remind me a whole lot of the prison from Fast and the Furious. Like, or at least the last Fast, but whatever.
You know, I still have yet to see that.
Last one was pretty good, but yeah, the prison where they put Jason Statham in The Rock, it reminded me a lot. They could have recycled that set, because it looked very similar.
Like, let's put two badass dudes behind some glass. What's the worst that could happen?
And they had, like, you know, the maximum security and, like, occasionally, but, you know, he's like, yeah, this, like, only prison, yeah, this prison, the only prison with actual monster in the basement. And they keep referring to this, like, monster that lives in the basement.
And he, for some reason, I was half expecting Hulk. Like, yeah. I kept thinking there's going to be a Hulk, or it's going to be, like, you know, the freaking, you know, rock creature from Guardians or something, you know.
Or.
But I...
But he tells because the kid's, like, you know, doing all this, like, we got to find the biggest guy in here and, like, you know, kick his ass. So we're the new guys or something like that. And, you know, Deadpool at one point, because he's, like, trying to die, and this kid's being, like, super optimistic. He's like, listen, like, just let me fucking die. Like, you don't find the biggest guy in jail and, like, kick his ass. You need to find the biggest guy in jail and make friends with him. That's how you survive. So when Deadpool sort of escapes, you know, that's what the kid does. He goes and finds the monster. And becomes his friend, which, you know, sets him on a bad path because the kid's got some anger issues. But then we have our introduction of Cable, which, to back it up a little bit, you see, that's one of the things, too, when they originally, like, some of the publicity shots of, like, Deadpool came out of, like, the first versions of Cable, he had this weird freaking gun that looked like a hodgepodge of, I mean, it has the stock of a Thompson grenade launcher. It's like this weird hodgepodge of guns. But then they kind of explain that, because when he comes from the future, he has this sweet future rifle that's broken, apparently. So he kind of, like, fixes it by taking parts from all these other different guns and assembling them in some, you know, kind of weird configuration. He kind of had to repair his future tech with, you know, the local versions and made a weird-ass, you know, truck stop fantasy gun.
But it works.
Hell yeah. I think it was badass. And then, too, I'd like, you know, because this movie also has some, like, weird-ass cameos. When he first shows up into our world, very Terminator, where he just kind of appears and he's like, you know, goes up to these two rednecks in a truck drinking beer, and it's Matt Damon in a shitload of makeup to make him look like a fat redneck, and Alan Tudyk. and he kicks their ass and steals their beer and steals their truck.
It's two guys minding their own business, having a couple of wilderness beers. We should go to the wilderness and see if we can find Cable.
And then the other hilarious cameo of Brad Pitt, who's in the movie for like a split second.
Who probably got paid like $15 million to be it. Did you see that thing? Like, I forgot what movie it was, but Rock like basically made an appearance for like all of like 30 seconds. $15 million for a 30 second pop. I'm like, I need that stature.
Yeah, no shit.
How do I do that?
But yeah, after you know, Deadpool, Cable shows up and he's basically the kid becomes like a serial killer in the future and burns. Cable is some kind of, he never specifically says, but he's some kind of like law enforcement or hero in the future who's trying to capture this guy. And he pretty much, like what happened to Vanessa, finds out where Cable lives and burns his house down and kills his family. So he's coming back, you know, John Connor style to try to kill him before he grows up and become a psycho.
You killed my dog.
But Deadpool won't do that, and he's like, you know, fighting off Cable, cause, and Cable pisses him off because he steals like his last like remembrance of Vanessa, his like skee ball token that he gave her for an anniversary present. But yeah, like the introduction of Cable is like before you realize he's not the villain of the movie. He's a badass. I mean,
oh yeah, no
those
doubt.
First encounters of fighting them, but you know, he gets Deadpool managed to fight him off, but he gets fucked up and has another vision of Vanessa, who's like, you got to help the kid, you know, children make us, give us an opportunity to be better people. And he's like, yeah, I was kind of a dick to the kid and sent him on this murderous path. I've got to rescue him. So he's like, we're going to put together our own super team. And, finally builds the big buildup of the movie. Like, cause I think they're supposed to be doing, they've talked about an actual X Factor movie, but you know, he's like, we're going to build the X Factor. And it's, you know, fucking go on this, like, you know,
how do I join the X-Force?
yeah, X-Force. Yeah, has the whole, like, you know, whatever, audition montage. But then you have the one guy who's the Vanisher. He's, like, basically, it's like the whole movie, he's like a, he's like, is he here now? Like, actually, he may be late. We don't know. And then, like, later on, he's just, like, a empty parachute. And you never see who it is until, you know, spoiler alert, you get X-Factor, which is...
X-Force.
Fuck, X-Force. X-Factor is another damn team. But you have...
Gosh.
You have Domino, played by Zazie Beetz, which is kind of a cool name. And she's like, I'm lucky. It's like, that's not super. Yes, it is. So why are you here? I don't know. I just come places, see what happens. I'm lucky. I don't know why I'm here yet, but she's like, fine. And then, like, the one guy, like, Peter... He's like, what are your superpowers? I don't have any superpowers. I just saw the ad. It looked like it was going to be fun.
You're in.
And then Dopinder, like one of my favorite little like side guys from the first movie, is back. And he's like, you know how I accidentally killed that guy? I kind of liked it. I want to be a contract killer. And he's like, no. And he's like, so he kind of becomes like an apprentice at freaking Weasel's like shop and is like cleaning up and stuff. He's like, I want to bathe myself in your enemy's blood. So like, no, Dopinder. So when they hire the guy that has like no powers, and he's like, damn it. Why does this guy get to join? Then you got Terry Crews. You've got one guy who's like supposed to be like a superpowered alien. He's like, so what's your power? He's like, oh, I'm from a planet where everyone's better than you. He's like, for once, I would like to visit a planet where everyone is like not as good as me. He's like, isn't that Canada? And he's like, shut your mouth.
Yes. Blame Canada.
But I love it because you get this whole like epic like, we're going to go kick ass, and they're transporting the prisoners because Cable blew up the old prison, and they're like, we're going to attack the convoy, rescue the kid. So you get this whole like epic montage, like set up to an R9 montage, like a, them on a plane, on a helicopter ready to attack by air, rocking out to some AC/DC. You think it's about to be like a badass fight. And then pretty much every one of them dies except for Deadpool and Domino in like horrific ways.
I mean, what good can come from... all right, we're going to strap a parachute on you and throw you out of a plane with no prior experience. And you think it's going to be successful.
Yeah, and Deadpool's all like trying to be the general. He's like, I spent years in the special forces. We don't give a shit about a little high wind.
Oh, it's a little breeze. Who the hell said it was supposed to be a fucking hurricane? Everyone.
Yeah, oh, he shit. He lands on a road sign. Freaking the Vanisher hits some power lines, and when he gets electrocuted, it becomes visible, and it's Brad Pitt. And then freaking Terry Crews gets hit by a bus, and Zeitgeist falls into a wood chipper. And then like, oh yeah, Peter survived. And he's like, runs over to help him, and then he like pukes acid on him and kills him too. It's like everyone dies. And Domino is like the lucky one, so she lands around. Where is everybody? Everyone's dead. What? Yeah, I'm on my way.
And just like that. So, that goes to show. They had a bigger budget, but it wasn't quite big enough.
Yeah. We can hire these actors, but only briefly. We can afford about 5 seconds of Brad Pitt.
So, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that, as serious as it was, like, you know, didn't take itself too seriously. And it didn't lose the heart and the momentum that we've all come to love from our beloved Deadpool.
And I do like, I said the fight scene, because of course Cable shows up to try to kill the kid again. And Deadpool, him and Deadpool have that fight where, if you remember the old bad Wolverine movie, Wolverine Origins, freaking Deadpool does that thing in that, or wait, where he's like chopping bullets out of the air. He tries to do the same thing. He gets the first one. And then ends up with like half a clip going in him. He's like, oh, your bullets are really fast. It's like they kind of made fun of the ridiculousness of that that original movie. And even Domino is like, you know, a badass in this movie. Because, I mean, he even makes that thing. He's like, luck is not a superhero. That's like not even like cinematic. How do you show like luck as a power? And she's having that whole sequence. She's trying to get on the thing. And just like, it's... all these very like Final Destination, like,
yes,
all these things are happening just perfectly for her to like kick ass. And even when she falls out of the thing, she lands on an inflatable panda.
Yay, panda.
Which is also kind of funny because the Domino in the comic books looks kind of panda-ish. She's like white with a black spot, where this one is black with a white spot. So it's kind of like, hey, look, here's my original color scheme I'm going to fall into. I did see a great meme, though, that was like, I don't know who Domino is, but I'm pretty sure I know who her father is. And it's a picture of Barf from Spaceballs, because he had the same like weird like eye coloration.
I saw that, too. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it could be a thing.
And then we get the reveal of our actual villain, you know, because the monster that they've been alluding to, the kid frees him. And it's the fucking Juggernaut. And just like with Colossus in the first movie, where I'm like, they finally did a screen-accurate version. He looks like fucking Colossus. You know, no disrespect to Vinnie Jones, who played him in the other X-Men movies, but this looked like the comic book Colossus. He's huge as shit. And has his sweet, you know, metal helmet.
You mean Juggernaut?
Yeah, Juggernaut. That's who I was talking about. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he does in the comic books, cartoons, whatever, you know. It's because Benny Jones is cool, but he's just not big enough to be the Juggernaut.
I've seen, and I really feel like, you know, it's nitpicking because...
Oh, they didn't say I'm the Juggernaut bitch?
Well, not that. I mean, I made that comment, you know, as the credits were rolling, and I was like, that's probably going to be one of the extra credit scenes. And no, it wasn't. And I was like, damn, he didn't even say I'm the Juggernaut bitch. But no, like, you know, people were critiquing the helmet and stuff, and like, yeah, I'm like, nah, get out of here with that.
Yeah. Oh, and then he rips Deadpool in half, which, and Domino has to carry him away, like using his arms as backpack straps. But then you see him, and there's also so many references to
backpack while you run
to Goonies.
Did
in this movie.
That? Yeah. Fucking seagulls, man. Like,
But yeah, there's so many references to Goonies in this movie, because at one point, like, because Cable's got, like, one robotic eye, and he calls him One-Eyed Willy. But then when you see him and, like, what's left of the team goes back to Al's to kind of reconfigure, Deadpool's wearing an exact copy of Chunk's Hawaiian t-shirt from Goonies.
Yes.
Or his Hawaiian. And, you know, anyone who liked the My Small Hand Growing Back sequence, they took that up a notch, you know, because now his entire lower torso is growing back and he has baby legs. And they're just like, he's just full Winnie the Pooh in it, just shirt and no pants. And even Al is like, why is your hand small again? He's like, that's not my hand, but I appreciate the attention.
Yeah.
And they all show up to have that, like, serious meeting with Deadpool, and they're all just like, oh, God, put on some pants.
It's hard to take that seriously.
And Cable shows up, and he's like, finally tells them why he's trying to kill this kid. Because he's like, yeah, this kid killed my family. You understand that. You lost your family. You know, and Deadpool's even like, you know, he's just a kid. He hasn't done anything yet. He's like, give me a chance. Because he's like, you know, you know, in my timeline, he kills the headmaster and then gets a taste for death. He's like, well, he hasn't done anything yet. He's still an innocent. Give me a chance to talk him down.
You get 30 seconds.
He's like, if I can't do it, I'll help you kill him. Yeah, so they finally come to that agreement and go after him and the Juggernaut. But yeah, he's like, I forget what it was Deadpool said. Something like, yeah, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have, like, learned this. And he's like, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know what a grown man with baby balls looks like.
Like, you know, like you said, once you figure out that Cable isn't necessarily the big villain in this film, like, the Deadpool and Cable dynamic, you know, they play hand in hand really well.
Yeah, because there's been those, you know, Cable and Deadpool comic series that, I mean, it's almost like weird buddy cop. There's like, because Cable's always such, like, the hardcore serious soldier and Deadpool's just the nut job. It's a very Odd Couple-esque series. That, you know, maybe they'll get a lot more of that in the next movie.
I definitely think we will. I don't know that it's officially been confirmed or not, but Deadpool 3 is definitely in the works.
Yeah, it has been confirmed that this is an ongoing thing. And if you get a chance to look it up, there's a BBC show that they do a thing on YouTube called Playground Insults, where they have celebrities that are do interviews, they'll have them insult each other, and like whoever laughs the hardest loses. And the most recent episode was Josh Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. And it's hysterical. He's like, you're so old, you make dust look like a baby.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He has,
I'll have to definitely get around to checking that out.
Yes, they have some great, even Brolin, man, who is like, very, like, you know, dry-witted, like, has some great insults.
But, I mean, you know, I think the dry humor really works, you know, with kind of Deadpool's over-the-top antic. So, you know, it's a different comedic version, and I don't know. I think it works well.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the final battle. It's the final countdown.
Doo-doo-doo-doo. Are you talking? I see your lips moving, but I don't hear any audio.
Ooh-ah.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I think your singing has officially deafened me.
Jackass. Troll!
I think that was just asshole.
That's our first entry to troll or asshole.
I think I'm going asshole 90% of the time.
Yeah, so you get Deadpool and Domino and Depender and, and Cable all in the taxi again. It's kind of like the lead up to the battle with Francis.
Did you get that 70s show vibe from that? Because I definitely got the 70s show vibe from
that. A little bit. I think it's the afro. Oh. Yeah, because I had no idea who Zazie Beetz was before this movie, but I gotta say, like, I actually liked Domino as a character. She was, like, really cool. She was kind of like the surprise intro in this movie.
Well, like you said, you know, with her introduction to the character and everything, and you see, Like, you know, I'm kind of with Deadpool. It's like, well, how do you show luck? And it's like, oh, okay, well, you miraculously, you know, had these events happen that prevented you from being shot, ran over, outmanned, outgunned. Like, all right, that's a real thing.
And on the way to the fight, they stop at the X-Mansion again and do that whole, like, sweet boombox over the head, like, from Say Anything, him trying to talk Colossus into helping him. And sure enough, Colossus shows up, like, yo,
I could never turn my back on you, Wade.
And he's like, you go save kid, I will take care of this guy. And he's like, yeah, CGI fight.
But it was a great CGI fight.
Yeah. And I do like that Colossus kind of finally took Deadpool's opinion to heart, where he's like, you know, at first he's kind of getting his ass kicked by the Juggernaut, and he's finally like, you know, because he tells him too in that speech when he's trying to get him, he's like, sometimes justice is messy, you got to do the wrong thing for the right reasons. And so he like makes a little like spear brass knuckles out of a piece of the tin, like punches him in the eye hole, and then like uppercuts him in the nuts. He's like, oh, you commie son of a bitch. He's like, I fight dirty now.
Yes.
And then shoves a power cable up his ass and knocks him into the pool. He's like, that's how we do things in Mother Russia. I was like, yes.
Which is just great.
But then you get, you know, they go into the orphanage, and like there's all the kids and stuff, and yeah, they're, He's like, yeah, but freaking Deadpool's like, this is awesome. There's nothing like fighting a bunch of pedophiles with shotguns with your new best friend or something like that. But then, you know, again, Domino's of luck. She's like, I'll rescue the kids. She's like, fuck, we're gonna need a bus to get all y'all out of here. And like in the middle of like Colossus's fight, like they knock a school bus into the building. And they're like, oh, never mind. Here's a bus.
How convenient.
Yeah. But then you get where it kind of has that serious turn. Well, I do too, like when...
So luck or just creative story writing?
It's pretty much all the same thing. But, you know, the kid's going like full psycho, and Deadpool finally catches up with him, and he blasts him. And it's kind of cool too, because like once he blasts him with the fireball, his suit's all burnt up and it's black and white, which in the X-Force comics, Deadpool didn't wear his traditional red and black. He had a black and white suit. So it kind of, like, oh shit, he's in the X-Force costume now, which was kind of a cool little tie-in.
It would have been awesome if he had the yellow trainee vest, though.
Still had the trainee vest. But then he gets, he puts on, he's like, all right, here's my last, because Deadpool's like, or not Deadpool, Cable's like, got one bullet left, I can end this. And he's like, I got one more card to play, and he puts on the mutant collar, so now he's vulnerable, and he's like, listen, if you're gonna kill this asshole, you have to kill me first. And, you know, and puts himself in front of the kid, and it looks like the kid's gonna fry him. So Cable takes the shot, but Deadpool like steps in front of it and takes the hit and like sacrifices himself for the kid, and the kid's like, oh my god, people do care about me and I'm not gonna be evil. And then, you know, Cable's bear comes, that he's been carrying this burnt bear that it was his daughter's, it's miraculously healed, so he's like, oh, my family's fine, you actually stopped him. And he had said earlier that he's like, because Deadpool's like, well, since you failed, why don't you just use your old magic device to go back farther back, kill him as a baby, kill his parents, whatever. And he's like, well, this thing only has like two charges, one to get here and one to get me home. So like, you know, Deadpool's like actually has the super elongated death scene where he's like, oh, I'm done. Oh, no, I'm not really dead. Oh yeah, I'm
it's done. Just a flesh wound.
But then he finally gets back to Vanessa, and he's healed, and he gets to like cross through the invisible wall and be with her for a minute. And then she tells him, she's like, you got to go back. It's not your time. Your new family needs you. Like, I will be here. And I swear, in that moment, that whole like him like finally getting to be with her and then having to leave her, I freaking teared up a little. I'm like, I didn't expect to like tear up at a freaking Deadpool movie, but that
you're getting soft.
Maybe like,
God damn it, you're getting soft.
I got married. I have somebody to lose now, and that made me sad. It's her fault. She made me sappy. But that was like I said,
I don't even believe what I'm hearing right now.
Fuck you. It was a good movie. Like I said, but I didn't expect like that deep and serious of a scene from a Deadpool movie. So it's kind of like, you know, that's the, not only has the character had growth, like the movie itself has like grown. It's not just like, you know, dick and fart jokes. It's there's some like serious.
Oh yeah, there's actually
it.
some meat and potatoes to, you know, this flick.
And then, you know, Cable actually sacrifices.
See, Deadpool is for families.
Yes, because the first movie he was all like, this is a love story. Despite all the violence and everything, this movie is a love story. And in this one, he says in the beginning that, no, this is a family film, despite all that you will see. This movie is about family. But yeah, Cable, like, you know, now he knows that his family is safe. He kind of like, I owe Deadpool. So he uses his last charge to go back 20 minutes and insert the coin in Deadpool's suit. And yeah, so he still sacrifices himself and saves the kid, but he doesn't actually die.
It stops the bullet.
And he's like, you sacrificed your one thing for me. Like, you know, we're friends now. He's like, whatever. I'm just going to stick around and make sure y'all don't fuck up the future.
Damn it, Barry.
Oh, and then you get that sweet. Oh, and the asshole that runs the abusive dude who runs the prison, you know, freaking, he's like, ah, y'all a bunch of mutant bastards. And Cable's finally like, fuck this, I'm going to kill this asshole. He's like, no, you know, we're heroes. We can't do that. We got to let karma take care of it. And then freaking Dupinder comes in with the car and like runs him over. And he's like, yes, I finally got to kill somebody. And he's like, dude, I could hear you coming for like 5 minutes. I was trying not to laugh. He's like, yeah, karma's a bitch.
I mean, for him to be such a low-key character, I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, the Dupinder scenes.
I
want
to be like you, DP.
Devil may care attitude. But yeah, like, I mean, Dupinder kind of stole some scenes in the first movie, and in this one too, he's absolutely hilarious. those little added scenes of Dupinder, and even Bland Owl like constantly pulling a gun and, you know, not being pointing it in the right direction. I don't know, that joke made me laugh every time.
Just see Wade move the hand. Like, gotta go over this way 6 inches. There you go. Has more substance now.
She had just found the cocaine, the cure for blindness.
But knowing that the cure for blindness is there, and he doesn't just offer it to her.
Looks like Deadpool's kind of a dick. And I do like I said,
that's not trolling, that's just being an asshole.
And then you get this whole like post-credits montage of him talking the girls into fixing Cable's time traveling device, and instead of giving it back to Cable so he can go home, he's like, I'm gonna take this for a joyride first. And just goes through and starts fixing all the timelines, like saves his girl, stops X-Men Wolverine, freaking even kills Ryan Reynolds before he can make Green Lantern. This is silly. So pretty much since he saved Vanessa, he kind of undid the entirety of this movie. Like, this movie doesn't exist anymore. He kind of stopped the whole motivation of the movie. So no telling what the next movie will be about, because, you know, if the post-credit scenes are canon, like, he's pretty much undone everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just wondering if we get some weird flashback and he just, you know, it was all a dream.
It was all one of his, like, crazy, like, freaking hallucinations. But yeah, now that we talk about the kind of the entirety of the whole, like, you know, whole. What's some highlights for you?
I mean, I think what we already, Dupinder being karma, you know, the introduction of Domino, and actually, like you said, you know, this wasn't a person that was ever on my map, and, you know, just come in like, all right, this is legit badass.
Yeah, and of course, like, all the, you know, internet haters are like, she looks nothing like the character in the comic books, this is gonna suck, and she was fucking awesome. Like, despite, like, you know, her not looking like the comic book character.
You know, I'm convinced that, you know,
freaking awesome.
You know, alright, so I kind of heard the same thing about Ready Player One. Well, it didn't follow the book. And I'm like, you know what? You know, if they were to try to take a book, take a comic, and do everything to a T 100%, you would sit there and be like, I've already read, I've already seen this, there's nothing new.
Yeah.
Like, Where is the, you know, joy? Where is the, hey, you know what? We had this cool thing that we liked, so why don't we, you know, just put a little bit of a twist and give it some future longevity? Like, I'm seeing the same thing with, you know, Star Wars fans. Like, what do you want, the fucking franchise to die? Like, I'm sorry, it ruined your purist view. Like, fucking get over it, right? There's a whole new generations coming up. Get the fuck over it. Like, we should really do a rant section, because fucking people are pissing me the fuck off.
I mean, we've been going at this, like, what, 3-4 years now? We could, like, add some new segments.
Like, I mean, you know what grinds my gears?
Yeah.
Wait, Family Guy did it. Simpsons probably did it before that, yeah. But, you know, those were just, you know, a few takeaways. You know, also, too, we got a decent Juggernaut. Once again, the fucking color scheme didn't match, or the shape of the helmet was off. Get the fuck over it. The action was good. The character was good. It tied into the story. We now have something that could potentially get a, you know, its own spinoff, or grow, you know, the MCU. Can we not embrace that? Like, you know.
Can we get an actual good Juggernaut in a regular, like, X-Men movie? I mean, at this point, we got cool. Like, they need to start bringing, like, you know, these Deadpool X-Men into, like, the regular X-Men movies. Because, like, freaking that Colossus and that Juggernaut was fucking awesome. And this, too, like, I mean, this movie could have very well been, like, oh, we're just going to follow the same format as the first one and make, just remake the first one, and it not been as good, because it's like, we've seen this. This movie, like, was so true to the the original thing, but so different and bigger, not just action and budget, but, you know, feeling and story was so much more epic than, like, the first movie, that, like I said, it has, like, you know, some longevity. They actually did something different, and having the directors of John Wick, you're like, oh yeah, the action sequences are going to be, like, fucking on point, because these guys were former, you know, stunt coordinators.
Yes.
These and guys, I mean, know what the fuck they're doing.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, you know, like, I'm not ready to see, you know, everything die off and it go back to, you know, the way that films used to be before, you know, the fucking, you know, Marvel and, you know, takeover and stuff like that. I mean, somewhere out there is a little company called DC. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, you know.
He makes that joke, too, of, like, he makes a freaking Martha reference when he's making up excuses of why he's late. And then he also is like, dude, you're so dark. Are you from the DC universe?
I mean,
because I love, like, the regular MCU movies. You know, we spoke about Thanos, you know, our Infinity War last week being so awesome. But they're all kind of family-friendly. There's definitely a spot for a darker, or at least not darker, but more adult branch of the Marvel Universe. Like I said, these R-rated Deadpool movies. But Logan should have gotten a freaking Oscar. That movie was so good. I mean, it's, like I said, I like that.
And the fact that they brought, you know, in the post-credit, you know, Logan into the, you know,
yes.
Like, dude, that's awesome. That's what we need. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, you're just not going to please people. Like I said, you know, a lot of folks feel like they're trolls. Legitimately, they're just assholes. They're not witty enough to be trolls.
Do yourself a favor. Be Deadpool. And I do like the whole, like, because the other thing I absolutely hate is just about every, it's almost the point now where I don't want to watch trailers, because they'll give away the entire plot of the movie in a freaking trailer, where the trailers leading up this were very different from the actual product. I mean, it's like there's a whole cock teaser thing, this is going to be the big X-Force team movie, and then they kill all those guys immediately except for Domino.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think we got to, you know, give credit where credit is due. I mean, there was a lot of misdirection
yeah,
in,
like,
some of the Star Wars, you know, trailers and stuff of that nature. And I'm with you, you know. I mean, there for a long time, it was hard to talk about trailers because it highlighted the key action sequences. Or, I mean, I still feel like DC is the world's worst at this of, here's a 3-minute trailer that gives you a full synopsis of the movie, so there's no point in seeing it now, because the rest of it's just going to be dark
much.
And emo, and you're not going to enjoy it.
Because, yeah, you see, like, and like I said, from the trailers, you think, you know, Cable is the bad guy through the whole thing, and then you get to it and it's like, oh no, Cable's kind of a good guy, and the kid that you think we're supposed to be protecting is the bad guy, and we have, I mean, there was nothing about Juggernaut in any of the freaking trailers and shit. So, I mean, they actually did a good job of kind of misdirecting you and giving you something you weren't expecting.
I mean, I gotta say, just with, like, we've talked about multiple times now, just the emotional and the, you know, the heart behind the film was something that, you know, really caught me off guard in a positive way. Yep. I didn't cry.
Fuck you. So with that, of the newbies, like, any favorites other than Domino? Because we've kind of talked about her a lot. I gotta say, freaking Peter, like, that was like the weirdest thing from the trailers. Like, who's this, like, just normal, like, suburban dad looking dude? But his stuff was kind of hilarious.
I mean, he definitely, you know, stole the show there. I mean, you know, I mean, Fire Fist, you know, was probably not the most developed character, but it was kind of cool just in the aspect
that kid definitely
went
on an arc, though. I mean,
yes,
that,
I mean,
I'm not sure the kid playing him did a good job because, like, he's so, like,
I mean, you're going through a lot of changes at that
happy
time.
Happy dude, and by the end of it, he's, like, full-on psycho vengeance guy. I mean, that actor definitely had some, like, broader... And from the cosplay perspective of this movie, like, I'm always like, I can't cosplay as anybody because there's no fat superheroes. Like, he gives something for kids to, like, dress up as now. You can be the chubby action hero. There's roles for us now.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Weasel... He still takes, you know, I mean, just the interactions between him and Depender, like, you know, we were talking about where it's like, you need a sweep, you need a mop. Can you do these things? Like, you got to handle these basic tasks before you can even think about being a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah. The Depender's bigger role in this and too was definitely, that guy's is hilarious. Like I said, he was like the secret surprise of the first movie, and he did not disappoint. Especially, like, the first time he's like, yeah, I'm part of the team. We're going to go fight Juggernaut. And Juggernaut's like, I'm going to shove the little brown guy up the red guy's ass. He's like, I'm going to go wait in the cab.
I'll be here if you need me.
Yeah. So with that, we'll be right back. Time to have a beer.
I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time for a beer. What are we drinking this week, Brad?
So this week we've got something by a local Georgia brewery out of Alpharetta, Georgia. This will be Jekyll Brewing's Pony Ride Pale Ale.
Slow ride.
And much like, you know, Deadpool, this is for adults only. So, yeah, I mean, being a pale ale, obviously, you know, expect bitterness. This comes in at 47 IBUs, a 5.4% ABV, which, You know, when it comes to pale ales for me, anybody that knows me in beer knows I am not a fan of IPAs. I mean, the only good thing about an IPA is it does get you drunk, but it's not a pleasant drunk because it tastes horrible getting there.
Well, this is a regular pale. I mean, it's not an IPA, so it's not, you know, super, super bitter. But
no, I mean,
even the IPAs, a lot of time you got like that high-end alcohol content too, so it's just like, I enjoy the pain because I'm going to get drunk quicker.
I mean, this is kind of interesting, though. I mean, this sports, you know, mango, tangerine, pineapple. It definitely has that bitterness, but it isn't so over the top that, you know, it just makes you pucker with every sip.
Yeah, it's a lower bitterness than, like, you know, an actual full-on IPA. But then again, like I said, now it's... Well, I think we've officially hit the summer months. You know, June is like a couple days away.
We don't do that season anymore.
No. So it's gone from cold to hot as balls. So, you know, it's now time to drink something a little lightier and fruitier. And I mixed lighter and fruitier and came up with the lightier. But drink something a little more refreshing and citrusy for the summer months. So.
And that's kind of been my goal.
Take
is,
a step away from our usual dark as shit stouts.
Yeah, and... I mean, you know, the stouts and, you know, the porters and everything, those are great, you know, cooler weather beers. But, yeah, I mean, when it's summertime and 90 degrees, I don't want something that heavy or a lot of times with the milk content and everything else to just curdle on my stomach. So, you know.
Yeah.
Here I'm opting for something of a little lighter, light. I did your thing.
It's a new word. That's going to be a thing. Hashtag lightier.
I don't know if we can use that as a new word or not. I don't know. You know,
I'll make a call. I'll consult Webster's.
Yes, I was about to say we need to consult a Webster and you know, see what's going down. So I you know, I gotta say, you know, when I first started sipping on this beer, I was like, I'm not a fan, but, you know, the beauty of doing a podcast is sometimes you're not in the comfort of your own home, and, you know,
sometimes you gotta cut the air conditioning off because it's like mics are picking it up and you start sweating your ass off and you need something cool and refreshing.
as my body temperature increases... My enjoyment of this beer also increases. So I think I have found a good hot weather beer.
Yeah, because it's not super, I don't know, like, not overpowering, but filling. Like, I could probably sit on the porch and drink a full six-pack of this at the beach or something instead of, like, having, like, something big and heavy that I'm, like, one or two and done. This is a nice, you know, throw in your cooler, go to the beach type beer.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean... That's really what I was going for, and then I was like, the artwork's kind of funny and stuff, so, I mean, it sort of ties into Deadpool. I don't know if Deadpool does pony rides or not, but...
I mean, he has his stuffed unicorn. It's...
And with that note, my computer has finished updating. Yay! you know, so for me, this being a pale ale, not my favorite style, but not bad. I am going to give this about a 4. And like I said, I almost feel like during news we should pop one open after we've been in the podcast for like 2 hours and, you know, see how, you know, up the scale that goes. Because I can see that 4 being like... I'm wilting away to beer nothing. Like
I need, like, refreshment. And with that, we'll be right back.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show, we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
Yes, science!
And it's time for some science!
Science? Is this that part where I get edumacated?
Oh yeah, we're gonna do like, you know, do some experiments like Deadpool, try to make some mutants. You know, all that sort of things.
Well, I feel like we've already made some kind of experiment because it's really hot and really smoky, but I don't see flames.
Well, speaking of hot, there's a company who is now developing self-cooling cans. And these are actually available already. A company called the Joseph Company, kind of funny, has invented a can that will cool itself. And it's preliminary been, it's already been picked up by 7-Eleven stores for a new coffee that they're releasing called Physics Sparkling Cold Brew Coffee.
Clever.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, I mean, you know, we've all had first aid kits, so, you know, the cold compress just, you know, smack the pack and instantly it gets cold, warm, whatever. Does the can, like, you know, have some kind of thing that you shake, well, this, or...
Apparently the technology, they developed it like 30 years, or, you know, around 25 years ago, but the original version operated off of HFC coolants, which... really bad for the environment, and they got banned in most countries, so that kind of went away.
Yay for, what was that? Perfluorocarbons, I believe,
yeah.
Is HFC.
But in
look at that! Hey!
But in the same company...
pulled that from my fifth grade science
class. In 2012
class.
Has, like, worked on a version of it that runs off of CO2, so it's safe for the environment. And basically, anyone who is, you know, it's thermodynamics... as gas expands, it causes a cooling effect. So if anyone who's, like, played paintball and had to, like, fill a CO2 cartridge, or even those little canned air duster things for your keyboard, when you turn them upside down and just really dump the entire contents of it, the can just ices over. And this is pretty much the way this works. It has, like, a little twist thing on the bottom of the can. So you turn it over, twist it until the gas starts releasing, and this... sit there for a minute, and in like with a minute, as soon as all the gas releases, it cools your can from room temperature down to like 30 degrees, like fridge temperature.
So I see beer companies jumping all over this.
Oh yeah, because like I said, right now 7-Eleven has picked it up. It's only available in like the LA area, kind of as a test. But if beer companies start picking this up, this is going to be amazing. Especially like, you know, the hardest part of like, say, going to the beach and bringing alcohol is lugging a big ass cooler, or even going to Dragon Con, we always bring a cooler with some, like, alcohol so we don't have to pay, like, the outrageous prices at the bars. You know, but, like, having a cooler and actually keeping ice in it, because ice is kind of hard to find when you have, like, 60,000, 70,000 people all competing for resources. But if you can just bring a backpack full of cans, it's going to, like, cut down on what you have to travel with. And they cool themselves so you always have cold beer without the extra expense and space of lugging around coolers and bags of ice with you.
It's one of those things. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, so this is like some technology I'm super, super excited about. Like I said, cold brew coffee is one thing. This has to make it to the beer market because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I just want this for Dragon Con. Like I said, we don't have to lug a cooler on MARTA. We can just take a backpack full of a couple cases of beer and fucking pull them, twist them, and like
cold beer. Ice melts, it's like, what do I do with the runoff? And
you might have cool beer the first day, but like by the second day, you're drinking warm beer.
You should have bought a Yeti.
Now, Yetis are all communist now. We can't have Yetis.
Should have bought guns. What is it? The
Sasquatch, the knockoff Yeti coolers.
The Retix, you know, the I don't know. There's another one that's like Yeti that's like, hey, we do the same thing as you for half the price, so we're better.
Oh,
those guys might be trolls.
Yeah. And other news. Yeah. Anybody, you ever seen a little Disney film, or no, it was Pixar film, WALL-E?
I don't think I've seen it, but I've heard about it.
Well, NASA is making WALL-E and Eva real. They're basically, that's what they've named the two CubeSats that they're sending to Mars.
To meet with the space marines?
Yeah, pretty much. The new InSight lander that's on its way to Mars is carrying these two CubeSats. And CubeSats are basically suitcase-sized satellites that are much cheaper to manufacture. And they've primarily been designed to, you know, Earth orbit. So this is the first time they're testing them to see if they can function, you know, in long space trips, but also, you know, it's going to tackle the problem of communications because, you know, the lander actually still has to send all that data and stuff back to NASA, and it's kind of dependent on orbiting spacecraft satellites to kind of beam that information back. So this is not only a test to see if these satellites can perform in other environments, but also a cheaper way to establish communication with distant planets without, you know, the lag time of it. So, you know, it's just kind of, as we know, all nerds have kind of grown up to like places of influence. So now they're naming their satellites after cartoon characters.
Woohoo!
When do we get the He-Man satellite? Deadpool the satellite.
That's when they find the portal to hell.
We've named this new satellite the Death Star. It totally doesn't have a laser. We just named it for comedic effect.
Prepare the laser beam.
Mini-me, stop humping the laser. But as long as we're, you know, talking about Mars, the University of Arizona in connection with NASA is tackling one of the problems of eventual Mars habitation, because, you know, apparently, you know, there's only like a small window of a launch to Mars. The most beneficial, easiest way to get to Mars only happens once every 26 months. So, and it also costs tens of thousands of dollars per pound of equipment to send stuff to Mars. So they're trying to come up with ways to send enough supplies to, if we do send colonists or scientists to
Mars.
You
know what?
To keep them alive.
This makes me think that they're, you know, there is some end-of-life event that they've discovered that, you know, has not gone public yet. Yeah. And it's like, we got to get the fuck off of Earth because it's about to not exist. And,
yeah, because,
you know, so where do we take our elites?
Because Elon Musk says he's, you know, wants to have people on Mars by 2024. And he's talking about eventually sending a million people to Mars for this new colony. He's working, but like I said, keeping people alive with food, water, and air is kind of the main problem we're dealing with now. Because like the longest anyone's ever been in space is 14 months, and that's with
we've not figured out a way to like turn our poop into food yet.
Well, that's what's going to happen with this. So they've built something they're calling the Mars Lunar Greenhouse. It's basically a hydroponic tube greenhouse that can fold up into the size of like a 4-foot box. That's, you know, has a aluminum frame with inflatable stuff to, and so they can kind of like, once it gets to Mars, they can kind of expand it to whatever size it is. And it's going to grow food with hydroponics and also recycle, you know, human and plant waste to, you know, feed the food and, you know, generate the water. And they're saying, you know, Phil Sadler of the University of Arizona, who is a botanist, who's kind of the head of this project, says that one of these will be able to provide 100% of the air and 50% of the food for one astronaut for up to 2 years. And so this is going to be a lot cheaper and easier way to, like, you know, make life sustainable on Mars.
Okay, so Earth isn't getting completely destroyed, just something really bad is about to happen to the surface. It's going to destroy, like, 95% of all life.
Well, I mean, they've got to, like, keep you can send a small group up there that can then build bigger stuff. So then you got to keep those initial people alive long enough to make something big enough to save all of humanity.
Days without an accident. Zero.
Kind of reminds me very much of that movie, The Martian, like what they're trying, what he did with trying to, you know, grow plants to keep air going until he could get rescued. And finally, you know, have you heard of a little guy called the Loch Ness Monster?
Nessie!
Well, scientist, professor...
Did you really assume Nessie's gender? Do you know it's a guy?
Maybe. I don't know. Nessa?
Nessa.
I don't know.
Nessie.
Professor Neil Gimmel has kind of started a new hunt for the Loch Ness Monster. So if anything asks you for $350, it might be a Loch Ness Monster. Not less money. Always trying to get my 350. But what they're actually doing, they said it's more, you know, saying they're looking for Nessie is kind of like just a thing to get publicity for this search they're doing. It's more about studying the bacteria and inhabitants of the largest freshwater lake in the UK. What they're going to do is basically anything that operates in an environment leaves behind trace elements, like, you know, scale, skin, poop, whatever. They're actually going to be testing the water for DNA and then running that against a database of, you know, hundreds of thousands of known creatures. And, you know, as they sequence that DNA and be like, oh, we know that this, and this, like, exists in this environment. But then occasionally I might have like, huh, here's a sequence we don't know. This looks like dinosaur DNA.
But it's going to be like, oh, we discovered a new crawfish. Yeah. All along, Nessie was a crawfish.
So, yeah, it's all about, like, you know, it's like, technically, we're just kind of studying the you know, life forms in the lake. We're not specifically looking for Loch Ness, but if Loch Ness is here, these tests might actually prove once and for all that there is something here that is unexplained.
I just want to go find a Squatch.
We still got to go to the Sasquatch Museum. That should be our summer plan. Go visit the Sasquatch Museum. See if they'll take us on a Squatch hunt.
Those people take that real seriously, so we have to make sure we go in with a serious attitude, because I've already heard the stories. Hardcore serious. It's like, oh, okay.
Bigfoot's my homeboy.
Like, apparently Squatch likes to hang out in East Point. Like, if you look at the like, pins on all the maps and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, East Point, like, areas north of Dawsonville. Like, there's a lot of South Suburban areas that I'm like, you guys might be slightly racist.
That's just people on drugs wearing fur coats. It's just a really hairy homeless guy. That's not Bigfoot.
Somebody drove by, you know, the freaking smoke shop up here with the guy in the bear costume and thought it was a Squatch.
Yeah, I mean, living out here in the boondocks, anytime I hear something weird at night, I'm like, that's probably a Sasquatch. Like, no, it's not. We got horses that roam. No, that's not a horse. That's definitely got to be a Sasquatch.
Maybe it's Sasquatch's horse.
Whoa, a horse riding a Sasquatch. That would be... That's the new movie. You know, they did Cowboys versus Aliens. We could do like Cowboy Sasquatch. That could be a thing.
Versus alien vampires.
Oh shit! We better copyright this soon, because I mean that sounds like an idea for sure.
I got about $5 that I can throw toward the budget. What do you got?
I got an old Chewbacca action figure that we could probably, like, you know, do something with.
Start doing some old school claymation.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that? You're constipated, Chewie?
That's one of the funniest stories from, I think it was like last Dragon Con. I went to the panel with Peter Mayhew, and he said they were filming a lot of that indoor stuff and like in the, you know, Sasquatch area, and they're like, don't leave the set without a guide. Like, why? Like, because there's a lot of Sasquatch activity up here, and we don't want any of these hunters shooting you thinking you're a Sasquatch. That was a legitimate fear on the filming of Empire Strikes Back. Or Return of the Jedi, I mean. And with that, we'll be right back.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News. Sweet, I got some feedback. Alright, so, I mean, we talked about Deadpool, so we can't just jump into something too serious.
Why so serious?
So we got a segue. So, we got our first teaser trailer for Sharknado 6.
Oh,
this is a franchise that just isn't going away.
Yeah, like, I saw the last one. I mean, they made Gary Busey a scientist. I mean... These movies get more and more ridiculous.
Well, I mean, dude, I mean, you get Tara Reid, Tori Spelling, Dean McDermott, LaToya Jackson, Dee Snider is
Holy
actually...
shit, Dee Snider's in the new one?
Neil deGrasse Tyson, Alaska, and Daryl Hammond. I mean, you know, so, the last Sharknado, it's about time, will be released on August 19th.
I mean, they call it what they call it. I think it was like Sharknado 2, the second one. I mean, they've had like some of the greatest titles of, and I got to say the bad, like, low budget sci-fi movies, the like sci-fi original stuff has been, I mean, you had like all the Sharknados, you had Lava Lantula about fire spiders. And yeah, some of those like original movies they do are just fucked up and amusing. They're good to drink a beer.
You know
too,
what?
And,
but I wonder if Sharknado isn't like one of those things where, you know, you're on a set of a, you know, AAA film or something, and it's like, You know, everything's all about seriousness. You're on these major time crunches, and then, you know, Sharknado, you can just go out, have fun with, and get a break from the monotony.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of a vacation for some of these actors. It's not like some, like, cheesy old sci-fi movies where you got, like, no-name actors you've never heard of. Like, all these movies have, like, pretty big guest stars and,
yeah.
and stuff in them, like, you know. So it's got to be fun to go do from just all the cameos and like, small parts that, like, they put in them.
Yeah, so, I mean, here it is. Let's get this guy a bigger chainsaw. No reaction, no chuckle, no nothing.
Is it going to be on his arm?
I don't know.
Yeah, but, that dude's always got, like, a, yeah, more and more ridiculous chainsaws.
So
I want to see Leatherface do a cameo in Sharknado. Because they're always fighting sharks with chainsaws for some reason. Like, I want to see Leatherface show up and start chopping.
Which, you know, that would be.
I think they had like the actor who plays Leatherface in one of the Sharknados. It was.
Yeah, I don't remember if Gunnar Henson was there or not. But
it's like
I mean,
4 or 5-1. I think
they should just
him in
take
it.
That. You know, like the end clip of the original Texas Chainsaw film, where you know he's just swinging the chainsaw wildly, like you know, with these sharks, you know, spiraling
yes.
around his head, like.
Yeah, because I said that as a joke, but then I
remember. Dude, we keep
I
talking about
one of them. They did
videos,
have
videos. Like maybe we should, you know, put that together in a video. You know, maybe that can be our foray into learning video editing. I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. Things are crazy. All right, so we talked about Logan and how badass of a film that was, because you can't talk about Deadpool without talking about Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine.
Wolverine!
So, you know, James Mangold is directing Lucasfilm's Boba Fett movie. It's going to be a thing!
Boba Fett?
It's going to be a thing.
Wow. I mean, are we going to get, like, young Boba Fett, like, Han or friggin' the Solo film? Have they given any kind of indication of timeline yet of where this fits?
Well, let's see. I mean,
because I can't remember if it was actually confirmed, but I believe we talked about Obi-Wan being a movie, and like I said, we'll talk about Solo in an upcoming show. But there was some stuff in Solo that I'm like, you know, they could. This could tie into a,
you know, I, you know,
Obi-Wan
as of
movie.
Right now, there are no details of what the actual story is going to be. You know, I'm just kind of glad that, you know, originally Fantastic Four director Josh Tank was,
ooh, yeah, that's a bad
know,
sign.
was going to be, you know, kind of in the helm. So, you know, after that, you know, fell through, then. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not a whole lot of information. Just, yeah, this is going to be a thing. Now,
yeah, because all these, like, standalone A Star Wars Stories movies have been, since, like I said, they've kind of filled in some of the blank spots since Disney did away with the EU and started all that over with. And I gotta say, these standalone films, I've liked them better than the trilogy films. I mean, they've, you know, they look like Star Wars. Like, the you know, whatever, the first two new Star Wars movies just, you know, they were good. They're like, oh, I haven't had Star Wars in a while. But still, like, I think we've said they're made for a new generation, and they're all our heroes are bitches are getting killed off pretty quick.
Well, not only are they getting killed off, but, I mean, unfortunately, they're getting up in age and they're dying off. I mean, you know,
I
don't really
want to
be
films,
insensitive. I came across that as really insensitive.
But Rogue One was, I liked Rogue One better than Force Awakens, and I gotta say, I like Solo better than Last Jedi.
Well, and you know, I haven't seen it yet, but you know, I'm with you, and we share the same.
These
know,
one-offs feel more like Star Wars than the actual Star Wars, new Star Wars movies have.
Well, I feel like the new Star Wars movies have just, you know, been something to pander to the social justice warriors and not delivering a whole lot of substance of what I want from Star Wars.
I like my stormtroopers look like stormtroopers, not smiling idiots. The First Order's troopers just look stupid.
So yeah, we'll go into Solo once I have a chance to see it, and you know, I'll probably go, I don't know, one day this week and catch it, and then that way for the next episode, you know, we can talk about it without getting too spoilery, I suppose.
Oh, we're gonna spoil the fuck out of it then.
Oh, okay,
sweet, we're gonna get deep into it.
Well. Alrighty then. I guess we are. Up next, Transformers 7 is officially pulled from Paramount's calendar.
Speaking of movies that have kind of gone off the rails, like...
Well, you know, I mean, the Bumblebee movie is set to come out later this year.
Oh, God.
You know, so I'm wondering, like, are they going to have to do some rewrites, or are they just going to call it quits? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know, because I've not even seen that last one that came out. I mean, the first two were pretty good. That third one was kind of bad. And I didn't really hate the Mark Wahlberg one. I mean, it was just kind of... I mean, it was all right. It was a decent, you know, action sci-fi movie. But yeah, I've not even seen the last one that came out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing is, you know, like with some of these later films, like you didn't have the, you know, cross-merchandising of the toys and everything the way that you did originally, you know, when Transformers, you know, was, you know, first, you know, getting, you know, I mean, this is going back to the Michael Bay days and stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know. You know, I kind of say I hate to see it just end with this if that wasn't, you know, the intentions of...
Yeah, give us some kind of, like, you know, resolution.
But I'm with you. I don't think I've seen anything past, like, you know, 3. So, I mean, maybe 4. I don't even remember at this point.
4 was one where Weasel was in it. Another T.J. Miller flick.
So... All right, to show that I'm not just picking on Star Wars fans and, you know, being insensitive about their characters and, you know, beloved actors and actresses passing, Bruce Campbell has passed the torch and given its blessings for the Evil Dead franchise to move on without him.
I don't know how this is going to play, because... I saw that he was this last third season of Ash vs. Evil Dead was going to be his last, and I'm waiting for that to get updated to Netflix. I watched the first two seasons. I've not seen this third one yet, but I know enough of the third season that even though I haven't watched it, they introduced like a daughter or something. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that series going on without Bruce Campbell. That's, I mean, the rebooted, Evil Dead movie was actually pretty good, but I don't know, the series is just so much OG Bruce Campbell that I just don't know how that goes on without him. It's gonna be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, maybe you just let bygones be bygones. I haven't seen the second season of Ash vs. Evil Dead, so, you know, in my head, I would think that, you know, some of the, you know, more, I guess, companion-esque characters, if they didn't die, you know, would kind of take the helm, but, you know, there's not, you know...
And even then, I like those companion characters, but I don't know if they can carry it on their own.
And that's what I'm wondering.
They're not Bruce.
You know, without there, you know, being a Ash equivalent, like, you know, I just don't know. I mean...
Yeah, if you haven't sat through season 2, you gotta see that, because like I said, it's up on Netflix now, and, I mean, they bring in... the guy from like $6 Million Man and Fall Guy is his father.
I don't know, just like the real news, I don't know that I'm qualified to, you know, talk at length.
Yeah, I can't wait till season 3 gets updated on Netflix, but yeah, I don't know if I'm going to stick around for season 4 if there's no Ash.
Who knows? Maybe there is no season 4. Or is season 3 already wrapped up?
Season 3 is done. That's already aired. But like I said, it hasn't gotten updated to Netflix yet, because I don't have Stars or whatever channel that's on.
Spoiler, they all die at the end.
Probably.
I haven't seen it. Troll or asshole? You decide.
Jeez.
We're going to keep this rolling.
We're going to have a whole new segment written for next episode.
up next is Thundercats return to Cartoon Network in a new animated series that looks...
Speaking of assholes.
Are trolls.
Oh, God. Like, freaking Cartoon Network, I hate you so bad right now, because Thundercats is one of those shows from my childhood that I absolutely loved. And this new version just looks like silly shit. I mean, the anime is so childish. I mean, they did, like, a few years ago, they did, like, another version of Thundercats, which I never saw, but it but everyone said it was good. But this kind of reminds me of like the other silly shit they're doing, like Teen Titans Go, where it's no longer like a cool action cartoon. It's just a very much a super dumbed down kid show.
You know, in our hideout and just banter mindlessly. Like,
The animation just like, I've not seen any of the actual like footage from the show, but just like the initial anime tests and stuff they've shown is just like, oh my god, this looks so bad. Because I mean, Netflix is bringing back She-Ra, and it actually looks like OG She-Ra. It looks like it's going to be a good action cartoon.
Netflix, and not, you know, big cable, you know, we got to pander, you know, to everything. And
It's my whole theory that they're trying to dumb down the next generation so they're easier to control.
I don't think they need to try very hard. I mean, look at the parents right now for that generation.
Cartoons in the 80s and 90s had some serious stuff. Something you could still watch and enjoy as an adult, but these new stuff is just, oh my god, it's so bad. Yeah, I
don't know. I can't even begin to give Teen Titans a go. So I mean, you know, that's.
Unfortunately, like every time I go to like CC's Pizza, it's on the TV at CC's, and I'm just like, this is so bad. This is
maybe that's horrible. Why I don't go to CC's. That or, you know, I did have a bout with another food buffet place, not CC's. But after that, kind of ruined pizza for me.
Like, hashtag pooping. I'm still gonna make that a thing.
And vomiting and just, yeah. So, you know, moving on. Golly, this is a very, like, not uplifting news segment.
Trolls.
The CW's iZombie is coming to an end.
Which I need to catch up on that show. I watched, like, the first season or two.
It actually wasn't a bad show. I mean, you know, I can say that it didn't, you know, quite captivate me as much as, you know, let's say Flash or Arrow or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I mean, it was kind of a bit of a break, and you know, it was a unique concept that
That actress that plays Liv or whatever, I enjoyed her because she was like, I said, if you haven't seen the show, the premise is she's a zombie who's also like a medical examiner, and anytime she eats the brain of someone who's been murdered, she gets visions of what they saw before they die and uses that to try to solve their murders. But also she takes on elements of their personality for like the next couple days. So it's like literally she's almost playing a different character each episode, which I thought, as you know, for an actor, that looked like it'd be a fun, fun thing to do. And I watched I like the first couple seasons. It's not made into my regular rotation. I've not had time to catch up with it. But now that it's going to be over, then I guess I can finally sit down and watch it in its entirety on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bit of positive news, and we did talk about John Wick earlier. John Wick 3 has a release date.
Oh, yeah, May of 2019.
May 17th. Now, I mean, that was just, you know, a tweet. I mean,
there's actually a video, too, that he posted that it was like, it's basically like John Wick, like, coming out of, like, the rain. It's like all blurry and rainy, and then he, like, kind of comes out and he focuses. And he's like, I'll see you in a year.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, speaking of like, you know, tired of remakes and reboots, that's been a nice like original thing that has been awesome so far. So, yeah, I can't wait to see that. And then he finishes that up and we can finally get that third Bill and Ted movie.
And the most excellentest adventure ever.
Yeah.
All right. Any other tidbits or information you got floating around? And
I did see a thing that because we know.
Hey, I saw a thing too.
Disney is, like I said, it's very early. They've only really kind of announced the thing that's going to happen, but since Disney is doing the whole Star Wars land.
Oh yeah, Universal.
Universal has announced they're going to do a Star Trek park, which could be interesting.
You know,
I just want to drink some Romulan ale at the bar.
The full-length Star Trek movies aren't bad. In fact, I've actually enjoyed a couple of them, but, you know, the TV series, but I can never get into. But I think it would be kind of cool to, you know, be able to, you know, check out the bridge and see some of the tech and,
Disney's doing that whole...
I could see some interactive stuff there.
Yeah, where Disney's doing that whole interactive hotel where you play a character and stuff. I mean, they could do something like that with Star Trek where especially like VR and stuff where you actually get to go in and be a crew member on the ship and stuff. I mean, sounds like an interesting concept. We'll see what they actually put together.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get a little bit of a taste of that. You know, one of the gaming panels at Dragon Con is always, like, that bridge VR stuff where, like, you're, you know, in the helm and, you know, you're the commander and stuff. And that always looks kind of interesting. Once again, there's a lot more interaction there, more yeah. so than, all right, I'm just sitting here and I'm watching, you know, these people interact, the things I wish I could interact with. Phasers for everyone.
Woohoo!
Just don't wear your red shirt that day.
Yeah. And with that, all those security guys should wear like red shirts and stuff. With that, check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO network at ESOPodcast.com. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at CigarNerdPod. We have shirts available on our Zazzle store, links on our website, and RealMenSmokeCigars.com. Don't forget to get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds. And with that, it's time to make the fucking chimichangas. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.